All right, welcome back, and let's welcome Sean Trelford. So, Sean, the program says you'll be talking about 3D. So, what do you have? What do you have ready for us?
Well, I have some shapes, 3D shapes. Also, a man and an army of men.
Army of men.
Yeah, army.
All right, that sounds pretty amazing. So actually, there was one question I wanted to always ask you. What's your favorite programming language?
F-sharp.
Do you do other programming languages as well?
Yeah, I do many programming languages. Yeah, I do like JavaScript, Python, Ruby, and so on.
All right, that's a pretty good list. So I think we can now see your screen. The last thing we need to do is to close that little window that shows my face in there, because otherwise people would see me twice. Good. And it's all yours.
So we
are ready to go.
Okay, so first we've got the thingy, so then you can write code. So let's make a cube, so the Fumbo cube, that's just a thing to make a cube, and all you need to do is just highlight it and press enter, and you've got a green cube which can rotate and pretty cool. So it's kind of boring that you just have a cube and then it's just like with a color and then you don't really like that color. So we're going to try and make a 3D sphere with a different color. So let's write this. Fun.sphere. So we just can get the sphere if you can. Yep. So we've got the sphere, and then we do a pipe operator, and because if you do it like the other way around, so basically if you had like a code like fun dot color color. And then color dot like beige, black, or something. And it doesn't really make sense because you've got the color, but and then you have to do it after, which is kind of not really that
intuitive.
So if we run it like this, it's just a black cube, but the way the code is written isn't that intuitive, like I said. And so we use a pipe operator so it can make sense. So you've got the object first and not the color. So let's just get on writing this. So now we've got this. So now what I need to do is alt hash, and we've got a sphere, which is pretty amazing, which is glitch. So
I'm gonna show the scaling now.
Okay, so you can rotate it if I can.
We can see everything fine.
Okay.
Just scale on the cube now, I think, because then you can explain the 3D maths to everybody in the audience.
All right, so are we going to have a short introduction to linear algebra? That would really prove that Sean is a genius. I think we want to see more cubes and
okay. Okay, so we can pipe into a scale.
Have you done linear algebra at school yet, Sean?
No.
No, they didn't do that in 9, do they?
I've done linear algebra, but I already forgot all of it, so.
Yeah. Okay.
You could do that later, Thomas, perhaps.
Okay. So we do fun dot scale, and then, so first we've got the x. So the x is like that way.
They can't. Can they see his hands?
We can see you, although you look a bit little. We can make you bigger.
Okay. So x is that way. So. Basically, the cube is going to be just a normal cube. And then they always say that y is yup. And let's write that. And the z is that way. So it's always, when you're doing a 3D shape, it's x, y, and z. So now let's just do this. And we've got a green rotating normal size cube. So I really like flat stuff. So I'm gonna make a flat kind of like cardboard box or something. So I'm gonna make this a bit big, like 3, I'd say. Make this 0.5. And let's make this pretty long. I'd say 4. So let's say hash, and we've got a flat cardboard. So that's just a lap, and then you can like do that on anything, and it'll work. For some reason that didn't work. And then just do this again. Slide glue, and that's just pretty good. And then you can do pipe it into fun.scale. Scale now. And you just can do all of this stuff. And yeah, X, Y, and Z. Always remember that. Even stuff this. Okay, so. We are going to build a 3D character. Yes. So, first, let's do a head. So, this is the let head equals all of that thing. So, fun.translate, all of that stuff. So, this is how big it's going to be because it's X, Y, and Z, all of that stuff. And then, fun.color peach puff on this bit. This is makes the color. So color.peach puff. So now we can do the peach puff stuff. And this is the type of object it is. And let's just go ahead and run that. So we've got the head right there. And that's going to be the man's face. Except it doesn't have any facial features. And here's the hat. So this is translating it. And this is the color of it. And the color, this makes it again. And then the color is black. And then it's the type of object, which is a cylinder. And then this is the scale, X, Y, and Z. And it's the same thing here. So let's run that. So you've got the hat, and we've been doing a dollar symbol, which brings them all together so it can connect. So here's the body. Here's the type of object. Here's the color.
Hello, can we still hear you? I think we're having some little connection issues here. We are having little connection issues. So we have a nice head there, but I'm just going to try to call back again and see if we can get the rest of the men online. So hang on a second, I'm calling back again, and we're going to restart the connection and see if it catches up. I'm calling again. Hello there. Looks like the connection got dropped. But now we can see you again. Okay, we got stuck at the hat. So if you can screen share again, then we can finish the man. Can you do screen sharing for us?
Yeah, I was onto the body. So.
Yeah, we can go back to the hat.
We've lost you on the hat. We had a hat. We had a nice hat ready there. We had a head and a hat. So, you know, and we were just starting to see the body. Alrighty.
Okay, so that's the hat.
And can you also close my video there so that we see just the hat? Very good. Alright, thank you. You're back on.
And then here's the body. So that's the type of object. That's the color. This is the scale. So that's X, Y, and Z. And that's the translator. And then we just... you've got a red flat body and color add a sphere onto it so Why did you tell me that?
All right, I think we are getting a bit of a connection issues again. But we do see the body. No, looking good. We do see the body there.
Okay. That's the fundamental silhouette assembly. And then for the hand is the hand is the scale. It rotates. That's pretty basic. It's just code. Together.
So we're going to compose together the body, the arm. Now we can. Oh, right. Now we have one arm there, which is the arm. Yeah. That's the cylinder, and then the ball at the end. That's the hand.
Yeah. So then we need to make two arms because having one arm is a bit weird. So we need to get the two arms. Make that. This arm and put that so at a 100 degree angle so we can make two, which is pretty basic. And now we need to make two cylinders which make the leg. So but we do the cylinders later on. So it's basically just a black cylinder for the leg. So that's really basic. The feet are a cube, a very thin cube. Two thin cubes. And that's pretty cool. it's flying around the screen just like it doesn't care. And then there's the legs, which are just the same thing, but just with the feet as well. So it's the same thing, but connecting the feet and another one. So that's that. So all of that code makes this amazing man.
Woohoo! That's pretty amazing. So we've got man with two legs, two hands, head, and a hat. And I wonder what are you going to do next?
So, if you have a royal army and you just have one soldier in war, you're just going to basically lose instantly. So, we need an army right now.
Whoa! Looks like we've got an army. How many men are there? Can you actually zoom out? They're running around so quickly I can't count them. Oh my god! So this is the Royal Army of 3D Men?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So if I count correctly, I don't know how many are there. That's like 5x5 maybe, 25 men?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's lots of them.
Yeah.
There's lots of them.
Okay, but it's kind of bad when you just want to do some code and you're running Visual Studio and it doesn't work. So you can do this at your own house. So it might take a long while to load. Okay. So now you can do your fun.3D stuff at your house, which is pretty amazing.
Oh wow.
There's a sphere, right? No, not a sphere. A cube. And you can get many samples like a castle if you run that.
So that's exactly the same code, but running in a web browser. That's really nice.
And the man we just did, it's also in the browser.
Oh, wow. Let's see. Is he there? Ah, there he is. Now, I think your man was nicer. Your man had much better head than this one.
Yeah, that's what my dad did.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Okay, and then you can have, like, movie box if it works.
That might be tricky with this running movies away.
Let's see what this is doing.
I'm just checking if it works. We can't access the camera, so.
No, we were.
I think we are accessing your camera from our side. So yeah. if you're doing it at home and you're not live on Channel 9, then you can do it.
And then there's just a Hello World example with 3D text.
Let's see if it comes up. Maybe it's a bit tired. You've been doing quite a lot there, but you can see.
Look, whoa! 3D world.
Hello, 3D world.
Yes.
All right. So everyone who wants to play with it should go to fun3d.net. Is that right?
Yeah, so you just can type it in the browser, fun3d.net, and voila!
Voila! Got it. There it is.
Yeah, that's the whole presentation.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for joining us. This was really amazing demo, and I'm sure we'll send the link to everyone who's listening so that they can create their own armies of 3D men as well. So thank you very much, Sean. I guess we can switch to the video here. And okay. is your dad around there? Can we get him for a second too? I'm sure he can't show us anything more amazing than you just did, but there were a few questions from people who wanted to ask some stuff. Oh, let me see. We've got so many questions here.
But
Looks like everybody understood the 3D men. So
yes.
there was one question for Phil, if he's around there. Asking earlier about how do we get companies that are currently not using F#, how do we get them to use F# for some things? What are some of the good entry points? If you work in a company that's not using F# yet, what should you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there's a lot of people out there who are using F# in their spare time, and they're finding it hugely productive, and they'd like to be able to do that at work. And I've seen this work really well. I think the beauty of F# is that it does interop with C# really well. So the first thing to say really is, and to put people's fears at bay, is you shouldn't rewrite everything in F#. That would be silly. You put years probably of effort into your C# code base. C# and F# should be thought of as good friends and working alongside each other. And that would be different if you were to, say, adopt a different technology. For example, say Scala, you would find yourself in a lot of pain with interop with your C-sharp code. With F-sharp, you, when you're starting perhaps a new project, maybe you're doing a new component, then that's a great opportunity. In terms of starting, you might be perhaps the person who's really keen to get F-sharp in, and you're excited about it, but perhaps the other people you work with haven't had that opportunity yet. And I think what we're seeing from successful adoptions is going for something like Dom was hinting at before, starting with testing, starting with scripting, build scripts. So going on the testing side, you might be doing just unit testing. You might do behavior-driven development with F-sharp. Perhaps you want to do some UI testing.
And that's a great topic, because we'll have the author of Canopy talking about it. I don't know when. Pretty soon.
Yeah. Another area I found very helpful is when you're trying to birth a new feature, you're probably going to want to do a rapid prototype, trying to get it into, say, a 2 million line code base. And watching the compiler churn all the time is not necessarily the most effective thing. What you see some of the older veteran programmers do is just spin up little applications and try things out, maybe show the customer those. And again, F-sharp's rapid scripting prototyping capability is great in those scenarios. So I would suggest dipping your feet in something fairly easy to get into, and then moving on from there. One of the other things you might want to do is give your coworkers a taste of F-sharp. Maybe do the F-sharp co-ins with them. Maybe like have a brown bag lunch, and you know, bring some lunch in and let them sit there and try some F-sharp code out. I think with any new technology, it always seems a little bit scary at first. Or, you know, I can already do everything I want to do in my existing technology. But once you actually get your hands on that new technology, typically you'll find that I'm pretty excited about it. It's just get it in front of people, let them have a play with it, let them actually touch it. So sorry, that was a bit of a long one, but
That's pretty good. So the key points were just use it for some smaller things at the beginning, because it's much safer and easier than if you just decided to rewrite 2 million lines of code. That's never a good idea. And on the sort of getting started, so we mentioned the koans, F-sharp koans that Chris Marinas did. The other one that's really good is there's the community for F-sharp website. So that's c4fsharp.net. And there's some coding katas where you can solve little puzzles like play with type providers, write a little digit recognizer, and so on. So that's another great one.
Oh, and drag them down to your local F-sharp meetup. And you can find all of the meetups, including the London meetup, which I help run, online on F-sharp.org or Community for F-sharp.
I'm actually just going to open the map here for people who are listening, because if I can find it, if you go to c4fsharp.net, there's a link to local F-sharp user groups. And if you zoom in, that's a whole map of the world. And you can find the local user group nearby. Or it's actually not just F-sharp user groups. It's also friendly.net user groups all around the world.
Yeah. And in the UK here, we had two new user groups open up since the new year. So we already had Cambridge and London, and now we have Bristol and Coventry. So if it's not in your area now, perhaps it will be in a few months' time, or perhaps you want to just start one up. Why not?
Yeah. No, I've heard about quite a lot of new user groups recently. There's also one starting in Prague. So hello to Czech Republic. They've just started, had their first meeting, and I've heard some rumors from Poland as well.
Yeah. Oh, another quick plug. I think we've only got a couple of minutes, but if you're looking to get a real fast track on F-Sharp, we're running a conference, one-day conference in London on April the 15th, the F-Sharp Exchange, which is a community-based conference. We'd love to see you down there. And the day after, we're running a free hack day. So if you fancy hacking with a lot of F-Sharp people, come along. And we'll be offering free beer, pizza, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Sounds pretty good. So we've got, I think if people want to just learn about what's happening in the F-Sharp community, like you talked about a lot of things like conferences, user groups, libraries, everything. What do you think is the best place? Like where should people go?
Oh, that's a guided question, but it's really easy. Just go to fsharp.org. Everything you need is there. The fsharp.org website is the home of the F-Sharp Foundation, and you can find testimonials, which I think were mentioned before. I think if you are looking to adopt F-Sharp, show your boss the F-Sharp testimonials, and he'll start to get
all right. So that excited, was another. Another pointer for the
options
F-Sharp org.
And great success stories. Yeah,
that was another plug for fsharp.org. There's also active F-Sharp community over at Twitter. So if you're on Twitter, tweet something with the #fsharp hashtag. You'll definitely get noticed, and people will yeah. get in touch. And I think that's probably end of our break session. So thanks yeah. again to both Phil and Sean. In MSR in Cambridge. We can see it's getting pretty dark there. So have a good night. And we'll be back in a few minutes with more content. And the next talk will actually follow up on the topic that Sean started with 3D. But we are going to have a talk from Goswin Rothenthal, who's been working on the design of the Louvre Museum in Abu Dhabi. See you in a second.